Chapter 24. Ashmead's lock goes dead. All his cams, all his connections, they go dark in perfect simultaneity. The feed is gone. The prison is liberated. Admiral Rax smiles. It is time.
Your ribs,
Jazz tells Nora.
They're broken.
Nora struggles to breathe.
Am I going to be all right?
Eventually. Doesn't feel like they punctured the lung. Though I'm betting it feels that way to you.
Jazz manifests a rare smile.
I've been there, Vexley. More times than I can count. You'll make it through.
All around them, pocket lights spear through the darkness of the now derelict Ashmead's lock. One by one, her crew rescues the prisoners from their docks. It's literally dozens, maybe even 100 or more. Many of them are dressed in the uniforms of the Rebel Alliance. Officers and pilots and doctors from the days before the second Death Star fell. Some even before the first one blew, thanks to the farm boy from Tatooine. Bodies shuffle past, weak and confused. They all get the same instructions. Head outside and wait. Oh, and don't stray, because who knows what waits out there in the dread Kashyyyk forest. Nora grunts,
winces, and tries to stand.
Sit down,
Jazz says.
You're not a doctor. I want to help.
You can help by sitting down.
Would you stay seated?
In the half-darkness, she sees Jazz's shoulders shrug.
No.
And neither will I. So help me up already.
The bounty hunter does as asked. All around, the shadows of droid carcasses surround them. Once the power cut out, they all slumped and fell like Okari junk puppets with their dancing wires cut. Clatter and collapse.
We find Sinjir and Jom yet?
Nora asks.
Jom's outside, helping keep people together. Sinjir, we haven't...
From somewhere in the darkness, an all-too-familiar voice reaches their ears. The voice is hoarse but clear.
Ugh! Everything tastes like licking a blasted battery. Someone, please, come get me.
Sinjir. Jazz retreats into the darkness, then returns with the ex-Imperial. In the glow of Jazz's pocket light, Sinjir looks like he just woke up from a week-long bender. Hair a muss, the whites of his eyes red, the skin around gone bruised dark. He is licking his lips and making a wrung wash rag face. He nods.
Nora, been a while. You end up in one of those pods?
Yes. Well, almost.
Not restful at all. Would not recommend.
He leans in between both Jazz and Nora, and in a low voice asks,
Either of you fine, upstanding New Republic citizens happen to bring a jorum of ski with you? A nip of kurva? I'm feeling a bit dry over here.
Anyone ever tell you you have a drinking problem?
Jazz asks.
My only problem is I'm not drinking.
She shakes her head.
Go help Temin and Solo get more of the prisoners free. I'll go with you.
Jazz turns to her.
Nora, you take it easy.
I'll go help the prisoners outside. Make sure they stay close.
Jazz starts to protest, but she cuts her off.
I need to stay busy. Need to keep focused.
The way her mind was going in that dock, it feels like she's on stable ground, but too close to a rain-slick edge. It wouldn't take much to tumble down again into the darkness of those terrible thoughts.
Okay?
Jazz sighs and nods. Nora grabs the light off her belt and makes her way outside. Out there, the dead forest is filled with life.
Prisoners. Rebels.
A Rodian in a flight suit stands staring off at nothing. A woman ties the sleeves of a cold weather coat around her middle. A Sullustan in blue Dantooinian robes leans for support against a pudgy old Corellian in a tattered Rebel Army jumpsuit. Nora limps along, shaking hands and clasping arms, offering words of wheezy encouragement, all the while trying not to cough, because coughing just feels like she's being punched with pistoning fists. She tries to share the good news with them that they're free, that they can go home soon, that the Rebel Alliance has become the New Republic.
Is he out here?
Solo comes out of the prison ship with the fury of a storm. He steps into the middle of the crowd, not far from Nora.
Hi,
he says to those gathered.
I'm looking for a big guy, hairy as anything. Wookie, name a Chewbacca.
Desperation shines on his face like a beacon. He spies Nora.
Nora, where is he? He's not in there.
Han, I'm sorry.
Don't say sorry. Just find him.
The panic on his face is clear, and she feels it too. Rescuing all these prisoners is a victory for the New Republic, but it's an accidental one. For Solo, the only thing that matters is paying what he owes, and that means finding his friend. Just then, a gurgling roar cuts the air. Solo spins around. There, coming out of the ship, alongside her son, is the massive walking fur beast, the Wookiee Chewbacca.
Chewie!
Solo calls, and laughs as he breaks into a run. The Wookiee looks bedraggled and beaten down, but that doesn't diminish Chewbacca's enthusiasm. The Wookiee tilts his head back and ululates a loud, joyful growl, then wraps his impossible arms around the smuggler. Solo looks like a child snatched up by an eager parent. For a moment, his whole body lifts up off the ground, his legs kicking as the Wookiee purrs and barks.
I messed up, pal.
Solo gasps as the Wookiee sets him back down. The Wookiee yips and barks.
No. I gotta own this one, big guy. I should have been there with you. But we'll make it right. I promise.
Then a moment as the Wookiee looks around. His body goes slack like he's taking it all in. Everyone goes silent. The Falcon's co-pilot utters a low growl. Solo nods.
Yeah, you're home, Chewie.
The Wookiee stands there, stock still and dead silent as he stares up at the trees, as if he's just realizing where he is. He makes no movement and utters no sound, as if nothing could convey what he's really feeling. Everyone waits to see what he'll do. But Chewbacca does nothing. More Wookiees emerge behind Temmin.
Found another chamber of prisoners in the back. I think they're with you, Solo.
Thanks, kid. Thanks.
Those Wookiees join with Chewie, and together they stand with one another, staring up into the darkness of their damaged world. Nora watches it all. The tears that warm the corners of her eyes are ones she tells herself belong to the pain in her side, and not the one in her heart. She steps forward, intending to go to her son, hug him, ask him about Bones. But then, behind her, someone says her name.
Nora? Is that you?
Her knees go weak. She almost falls. Temmin rushes to her, helps her before she falls. That voice. She turns to see if it really could be him. It couldn't be. After all this time. Brenton? She says. He's standing right there. Surely just a phantom. He's thinner, older, his skin pallid and his eyes bloodshot. But it's still him. Temmin's voice is small at first when he says, Dad? Which means Temmin sees him too. He's not a phantom at all. Brenton is real. Her husband is alive. And he's standing right there.